NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome into this special Tuesday edition of the Recruiting Breakdown Live, along with some talk about the Steve Sarkisian press conference after this Tuesday morning practice. I'm Jerry Hamilton, joined by CJ Vogel as always. We are presented today by Mark Saunders, Allstate agent. There you see the number, good way to call him. I'll talk more about Mark Saunders here in a few minutes. Thank you for telling us where you're checking in from. Stephen Luttrell from Tyler, Texas. There haven't been many good running backs out of East Texas, right? And then Stephen Luttrell, that is Travis Cadell from Rosenberg, Daniel Lavelle from the 915. E. Kim will hit on that question. Christopher Weatherford, we're going to try to give you the best news we can today. Mav 12, good afternoon from Jersey Village. Man, Gonzaga, those Gonzaga girls could shoot it from Jersey Village. Durant, Oklahoma, I see Christopher Weatherford checking in from there all the time. If you're on Twitter, if you're joining us through YouTube, too, please click that like and subscribe button. That helps us out. We're going to be hitting the road a lot here coming up. But we're going to talk recruiting today. Obviously, five-star Michael Fasusi on campus. There's some other area prospects on campus as well. 2026 quarterback Grant Smith from Grand Oaks in the Houston area is on campus. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about Steve Sarkisian's press conference. CJ Vogel was there, the immediate reactions after this morning's spring practice. Before we get all to that, Daniel Earp checking in from Oak Ridge Woodlands. Steve Meadows, I'm too jealous to tell you where you're checking in from. I'm going to talk about Mark Saunders. When it comes to protecting all your stuff, wouldn't it be great to have one place that protects all of it? Here's some great news for you. Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders is the only insurance agent you'll need to help keep tabs on protection for all your stuff. Everything from your home, your car, and boat to that motorcycle, RV, and even that ATV if you got one. Call Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders' office today. That number is 512-218-8571. Do what dozens of Texas fans on Texas Football have done. They've called Mark Saunders at 512-218-8571. With over 35 years of experience, you'll be in great hands with Mark Saunders. Thank you for being the sole sponsor of the Recruiting Breakdown. All right, CJ, let's talk about kind of your immediate reactions to Steve Sarkisian's press conference. Again, he was confident before last season. I'm seeing a confident football coach.
I am too. I think he likes what he sees on the field as well. It was interesting, coming out. Kind of sometimes you see that lull after a first practice or scrimmage of the spring. You know, you just went, 2 hours worth of very physical, very fast. The conditioning might not carry over to Monday or Tuesday's first practice back. But Sarkisian said, yeah, we brought good energy. The team had a lot of, intrigue in this practice. There was a lot of energy carried over, and he was encouraged by that. There's a lot of tackling done in the scrimmage on Saturday, which he enjoyed a lot about. And I thought it was very interesting, Jerry, because we heard a lot about the offense, specifically in the red zone, finding success in that close red area in the end zone. Listen, he said early on the defense had its way. And I think that's very telling, in a sense that we might not be expecting that a whole lot out of that defensive line, but it sounds like the edges gave some issues. Sounds like the defensive backs, who we'll get into here in a bit as well, had themselves some really impressive showings on Saturday as well. But when it got really close and the nitty-gritty started, really started pulling away, that defensive line or offensive line for the Texas offense really started to make a difference, and Texas found success in the running game, and Quinn had a nice touchdown as well. So as the practice progressed, the offense started really getting going, and and things started to really flip a switch as the scrimmage kept going.
Well, guys, we're going to get to all your questions here coming up. I'll even at the end, I'll talk about basketball portal as well. Todd Lacey on the road near Lucas. All right, so let's start with that offensive line. CJ, we want to get this out real quick. DJ Campbell left the Saturday scrimmage had some ice on his shoulder, right? Sarkisian did not provide an update on DJ Campbell today, but he did talk about the guard spots and kind of the competition there, did he not?
He did, and it was interesting. Again, no update on DJ Campbell. I'm sure they'd like to keep that under wraps moving forward, but, you know, it's interesting because we heard Nato Umeazulu was one of those first guys in at right guard. Cole Hudson also got some run at right guard as well. The four of those guys, when you toss in Hayden Connor as well, Sarkisian said, have all splashed. They've all had good moments this spring, and like a consistent theme we'll hear with a number of guys Sark talked about today is we just want to see that consistency from a play and play out base, you know, and he's talked about Hayden Connor and kind of the experience that he brings as well. But, you know, I think he really liked what he saw from Nato late in the year, a year ago, when it comes to what he did on the practice field. He actually talked about what he did against Texas Tech and the time that he was able to get on the field in that 50-point victory. You know, he was basically fighting and playing and kind of getting a little chippy through the whistle. And oh, yeah. I think Sarkisian looked at that, as did Kyle Flood. And, you know, they enjoyed what they saw. But, of course, looking back at the tape, you can't be, you know, drawing personal fouls or anything like that, which Nato didn't do. Oh. But when you play with that chip on your shoulder, sometimes you get close to the line there. So that'll be interesting, again, moving forward, because all four of those guys are going to get run. And depending on the severity of DJ Campbell, how much time he misses, I've yet to hear if he was back at practice today. I've been checking in with a couple guys at the moment currently. Hopefully we'll get an answer by the end of the show. But as a result of that opportunity, you're going to see Cole Hudson out there. You're going to see Nato Umeazulu flipping back and forth from left to right, especially if Hayden Connor's getting some run at center with that first unit as well. So it'll be interesting. And right now, the energy is there. The effort is there. Right now, the consistency is what's going to separate the two of that four for that starting spot.
Again, you're listening to the Recruiting Breakdown Live, plus C.J. Vogel's thoughts on Steve Sarkisian's press conference, was wrapped up about 11:30. Thanks to all that are joining in on YouTube, on Twitter, what have you. Thank you very much to all the Texas fans. Hey, if you're an SEC fan and you're joining, just thanks for joining in. Listen to what we have to say today. Rapid City, South Dakota, there you go. All right, let's move to the defensive line, because he talked about Aaron Bryant being an improved player, and then he touched on some other guys. What did Sark have to say about that defensive line today, CJ?
Yeah, it was really interesting. You know, Aaron Bryant was the first guy that he went out and kind of mentioned, and I thought that was, of course, a positive. It's not too often that you hear some guys on the younger side, and I know Aaron Bryant's been in the program for a while now, but for him specifically to be called out by Steve Sarkisian, very encouraging, because, Jerry, we've talked about it at length, that interior defensive line spot, a bit of a question mark. I'm not sure if Texas feels like they can win a championship with the pieces that they have in that unit right now. To say that he's been the guy that shows the most progress to this point, very encouraging for him. He's also mentioned Sadir Mitchell has had flashes, Jare Bledsoe, Alex January, which is, of course, encouraging, because, again, at the moment, getting all hands on deck with that defensive line position is going to be very important. Again, and it's been kind of the recurring theme that we've heard with a guy like Alfred Collins, and Sarkisian pointed that out as well. They know they have a little bit of a special piece with that player, or those players. Now, what's going to be the difference maker with them on the team in the SEC is that consistency. And right now you see flashes, but you're not seeing that down to down impact on a consistency level that I think the staff would like to see from that group. Although, again, the flashes keep you intrigued and keep you kind of biting the hook a little bit, hoping for more.
Cody Vincent from Nacogdoches, lived there for a few years. Cameron Parker from Denton. Thank you to all. Yeah, I grew up in Nacogdoches. I think that was what, first grade through fifth grade. I went to Christ Episcopal School there when my dad was coaching at Nacogdoches. So Sarkisian also mentioned Jalen Gilbo today.
Yes.
And he had a very good quote on that, which you tweeted out, and we have on texasfootball.com. By the way, on footballtexas.com, go subscribe over there and be an original OTF OG member We have that up and running at ontexasfootball.com. What did Sark have to say about Jalen Gilbo today? Because it was very positive.
Yeah, I mean, insert the Sam Ellinger clip after the Sugar Bowl. He's back. Yeah. That's basically essentially what Stu Sarkisian said about Jalen Gilbo, who did not or was not 100% a year ago after dealing with a little bit of a knee injury. Now we're starting to see Gilbo kind of fighting for snaps again at that star position, and I think it's going to be very difficult, at least at this pace, for him to not see the field for a number of snaps or possessions come the fall. We know Texas likes to rotate. He's going to find the field at some point in 2024. Sarkisian said he's had a tremendous spring. He's been very decisive. That's a very important spot for the Texas defense at that star position. We've talked about the intellect of Jahdae Barron a year ago and how instinctual it felt for him to be around the football. Those are traits that you're hearing a lot about Jalen Gilbo as well. So right now, a very encouraging spring session halfway through for Jalen Gilbo, because we saw him as a freshman, Jerry, make impactful plays. He was on the field pretty early and pretty often as a freshman. Of course, that knee injury slowed things down for him developmentally. But now that he's back 100%, I thought that was the quote of the day from Sarkisian. He's back. And I think that's something Texas fans should be very excited about Jalen Gilbo.
All right, that's CJ Vogel. I'm Jerry Hamilton. We're going to start getting your questions now. A lot of recruiting stuff to cover. Obviously, Michael Fasusi, five-star offensive tackle out of Louisville High up in the DFW area, north of Dallas, right before you get to Denton there. He's on campus with his father today. First time he's been on campus since during the season. He did not attend the January 20 junior day. He'll also be back for an official visit June 21st through 23rd. Oklahoma A&M official visits before Texas. So we'll be monitoring that. He's going through the entire day of Texas football today, from the position meetings, then watching the practice to the post-practice. Meeting with Sark and Flood and being around the players, especially the offensive linemen. So we'll get more into that in the next couple of days. A couple other visitors, area visitors, Tiki Hola, I think CJ said, a young defensive tackle out of Bastrop High. He's on campus today. He's a guy with a Texas offer that they offered him last summer, I believe. So we're going to get to some of these questions now. E. Kim, over under three wide receiver takes from the state of Texas in 25. I'm going under because I do think there will be an out-of-state receiver as well. So that's where I'm at right now. Somebody's checking in from Buffalo, New York, by the way, so that's very cool as well. I'll get to basketball portal at the end of the show. It's dead period until Friday. For basketball, visits will begin this weekend and next week. That'll be some big stuff. Justin Yarbrough, what are your thoughts on Barron playing all three defensive back spots this season? That I wanted to get to that question because that kind of goes into Jalen Gilbo having a really good spring, because Barron has moved around a little bit this spring.
Yeah, and Sarkisian mentioned it today as well. You know, Jahdae Barron's versatility allows for that Texas defense to really start, you know, mixing in with what's working at the moment. And of course, Sarkisian singled out Malik Muhammad today as well as a guy who's had a lot of success early in spring. He actually had an interception this morning during the live team portion. So something to keep an eye on as well. For Jahdae, who's spent time at safety, which we saw against Washington a little bit, also in very important moments last year against Kansas State. In overtime, he was your outside cornerback. So while that versatility is great, it also allows to get Jalen Gilbo on the field. It allows you to give Terrence Brooks or a Malik Muhammad a breather without necessarily seeing a whole lot of drop-off alongside a guy like Gavin Holmes. So really encouraging with what we see from here. I think, Jerry, this year we're going to see Jahdae move around a lot. I think that was a big reason for him returning to campus this year. Was I wanted to use my skill set maybe in some different looks to give myself a better opportunity, maybe raise my draft stock as well with NFL scouts. So you're going to see Jahdae all over the place. I think you're going to see him back deep as the field safety, obviously near the box as the star, and out wide at cornerback. That's going to be kind of, you know, an all-in-all inclusive rotation for Jahdae, a one-man wrecking crew in that secondary. So really encouraging stuff. Also in that secondary phase, we heard about Jelani McDonald, who's had a good spring. We heard about Andrew Makuba today. Sarkisian, I think right now, really likes what his secondary is doing. Certainly an encouraging. Here's the quote on Jelani McDonald. I think a guy at the safety spot has made some really tremendous strides at safety. That's Jelani McDonald. He's very rangy. He's very physical. And he's a good tackler. tell me what else I got to sign up for, because I like all three of those adjectives.
And that's why the safety position, I'm going to stay on record, is going to be the most improved position on the Texas team in the 2024 season. I really think Derek Williams in year two, Michael Taft more experience, but they've added so much more speed, length, athleticism to that position with Makuba, with Jelani McDonald being a year into his development now, and then two really good freshmen, Phil Samee and Jordan Johnson-Rebell. Texas really upgraded that safety position. I'm sure Blake Gideon has a few more smiles on his face, at least watching the film this spring. I'm not sure he's going to give it away to those players during practice. Christopher Weatherford, any talks on expected portal entries we're targeting? Wait and see, and how many do you anticipate we'll lose? Okay, so it's a good question. Texas has to lose four. I mean, you're 89 over the limit. You're 89 right now, counting the guys who'll be coming in. So you're going to have at least four guys leave, right? I mean, that's going to be the reality of it. I think you could see up to five or six guys leave here and stay right around that 84, 85 number. I get under it. Then when you add a couple of portal additions, you get right back to that 85 number. I think that's really what we're looking at. As far as guys who may jump in, that's a lot of conjecture right now. We hear all the same names other people do. I'm more wait and see on that, because here's my reality with the portal. When guys in the portal window opens April 16th, by the way, goes through April 30th. It's not far off. It's a week away today. In fact, when guys go in the portal, they have two options. You can check no contact, or not, or leave that box unchecked. If you check no contact, you already know where you're going. Then it's game on. If a guy jumps into the portal that we think Texas has interest in and he doesn't check the no contact, then negotiations are on. So with a lot of schools. So that's kind of the reality of the portal right now. Is that no contact box checked when a couple of three guys go in the portal? That's going to be very telling for me. All right, Darkling 50. All right, Jeremy, how many highs do we have from the weekend? Okay, well, I'm going to say this. I'm going to give y'all one high, but it's going to take a little while to play out publicly. So I'll give y'all that. Layers of snow, shoot your shot, boys. Texas get three receivers in this class. Who are they? Impossible to say right now. I do think Texas will get three receivers in this class ranked in the top 200 players in the country overall. I will say that. There's Tyler. Good day from Michigan, man. He may have the answers everybody wants right there. We'll see. when is the next media window for practice? CJ, I believe that'll be Thursday. Well, media window, there may not be one until the spring game, actually.
Yep. I don't know when the next one will be. Hopefully, you know, we get one before the spring game. I'd love to have one on Thursday, but we'll see. Of course, we're expecting players to be available for a little media session on Thursday after practice, similarly to what we've seen the last 2 weeks. But as far as media getting out to practice, I don't know. I don't know when that next time will be.
Yeah. People have asked about Bear Alexander. A lot of rumors out there on Bear. There are always rumors on Bear Alexander going all the way back to high school. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Everybody's saying Kenneth Grant wants to go to the SEC. I'm one, we hear the names. Let's see how it plays out. Does the depth start to deter recruit Daniel Earp, or does NIL development opportunities offset that risk? I think this is a great question, CJ, because this is why I think it's great to be a blue blood coach. Other than you have the best opportunity to win, is you really get to see who's process and development oriented and who's really trusting in a staff. It's not easy to be a high school recruit nowadays in college football, because you can get recruited over for a year in the portal. And you have to be really development, process driven, and fully trust where you're headed and the staff you're under. That could be Tory Becton. That could be Steve Sarkisian. And I've said this about the receiver position with Bond and Golden here and Silas Bolden on the way. You're going to know out of those young group of receivers who's really bought into development process and willing to have patience and still see the light at the end of the tunnel. If the guys are talking about walking now, then they weren't going to be bought in to your program long-term anyways. That's why it's great to be a blue blood coach. You almost have the best of both worlds. You can recruit the high-end high school talent, but then you also can bring in really talented guys out of the portal. And because you can bring in those talented guys from the portal, it gives you as a staff the ability to see who's really bought into the program, process, and development.
Yeah, 100%. I think it, in a way, it kind of the machine works itself. And right now, with the way that Sarkisian talked about his culture earlier today, that's very important because you want guys to be bought in. You want guys to stick around on campus that see themselves succeeding here and buying into the culture, which is something that Sarkisian, I think, is very prideful of since his arrival. He actually had a great quote here earlier today, Jerry. I'll pull that up here. I mean, I thought to me, this was the great tone setter of kind of what he sees of his practice, the way that his guys went about practice, went about the scrimmage, and obviously the culture in which you have for his players at the moment.
As far as our team goes, we're having a really competitive spring practice right now. We have a really competitive practice / scrimmage on Saturday. Physical, a lot of tackling, which we needed. And we came back again today and was really impressed with the mental intensity, the focus, the effort, the speed at practice. They brought it again today. So really encouraged by that. I'd say something that we talked a lot about to the team today was this. You know, in the past, as we were building this program, we talked a lot about culture beats talent. And we had to build a really strong culture to beat maybe teams that maybe had a little better talent than we did early on. And now we've assembled a pretty talented football team. But we still need the culture. Because as I touched on, I think at some points last year, culture and talent together, that's really dangerous. And so we don't ever want to sacrifice the team mentality just because we have the talent now. Because that we're going to need both to try to go win a championship this fall. And I think our guys have been very responsive to that. And I think it's something that as we continue to grow with this team, as we you know, get through the second half of spring practice here, as we head into the summer and working on our culture in the summer and then into training camp, that as we're building the team physically and as guys are getting better at their fundamentals, at their techniques, at understanding the scheme, we're not losing sight of the culture and how important that aspect is for us to be a championship team come the fall.
Hey, that's great stuff by Sark, because this is what we talk about all the time. It's not about assembling talent, collecting talent. It's about assembling a team. And that has always got to be number one. And I'm so glad that Sark said that in his press conference today, because as you win more and more and you start to climb that mountaintop, you have more kids interested in your program. You have more portal guys interested in your program that see the returns for guys like A.D. Mitchell or what have you. So you have to be so disciplined with your culture. You cannot overlook that at all to collect talent. You have to continue to assemble the team. That's always most important. I think that's what Nick Saban's done in one way. Yeah, he was very talented, don't get me wrong, but yeah, he did that better than anybody I've seen. And Dan Hurley just proved you can do that after you win. They won a national championship last year, brought in new players, had great chemistry on the court once again, and they had a better team this year than they had last year. So I think that's going to be so important in recruiting for Sark, because you can get more guys to your campus and evaluate them. But then as a staff, you don't want to sacrifice for maybe a little bit more talented guy that culture that you've built that's impacted your winning so greatly. So I was glad to hear Sark say that.
Yeah, it was actually interesting. Someone asked at the press conference today, you know, did you watch what Dawn Staley has done at South Carolina and Dan Hurley at UConn? You know, having those programs return and win championships once again in their respective sports. Sarkisian said, yeah, I mean, of course. I watched the whole tournament and what they were able to do on all of their runs. Most impressive thing to me was, you know, they have a lot of young talent who may not be seeing the court as much as they like. They may not be seeing as many shots that they would like to see, especially coming out of high school, where if you're committing to UConn or South Carolina at the moment, you're a pretty good prospect. What he said was very impressive is having them buy into their role on the team for the greater good of the team and the program. That's something that he hopes to carry on to his roster this fall. And again, you hear those things, and to me, it just sounds like a guy who gets it. Sarkisian gets it, especially at Texas, where you don't recruit players who come to expect to see the field for about 10 plays a game. These guys were amongst the best of the best in whatever state, whatever team, whatever program they came from. That's the expectation that they've had going into their college careers. Yeah, I want to be on the field. I want the touchdowns. I want the headlines, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, Sarkisian's job and the culture right now is instilling to work for that common goal of lighting the tower at the end of a game on Saturday and eventually playing for championships, which we saw a year ago.
Hey, by the way, isn't it great to not have a quarterback controversy? Because Sark gets to talk about more players on the team at press conferences, by the way.
There wasn't a single question about the quarterbacks,
players, right, CJ?
We didn't hear about the quarterbacks one time today. And I thought, especially coming off of a first scrimmage of the spring, how often is that the case? Especially here over the last decade, I would say probably the first time in quite a while.
Hey, by the way, we haven't mentioned Colin Simmons. Colin Simmons had a couple of sacks. Oh, man, Eric Goldsmith checking in from sunny. He had that sunny to Costa Rica thing. Great to have you, Eric Goldsmith. Doesn't mean I'm not jealous. But Sark talked about Colin Simmons. Multiple prospects, people we talked to, said Colin had a couple of sacks Saturday. So I know he was asked about Colin Simmons today. What do you have to say?
Yeah, he said he really felt his presence during the scrimmage. It's interesting, Colin, again, you don't see many of these true freshmen with the first unit. And we heard a little bit about Ryan Wingo and how impressive he was. But Colin Simmons fighting for some reps there in a crowded room, nonetheless, which we expect to be much more improved from a year ago, certainly made his presence known. Sarkisian said he showed up, and we heard from a few recruits as well. Colin Simmons made a very impactful presence impression day one as an early enrollee in his first scrimmage.
By the way, Bear Alexander's taken over the chat. The only thing I would wonder about Bear Alexander is Eric Henderson, the guy who was handpicked to coach Aaron Donald as a Ram, is a D-line coach at USC now. If you don't want to play for that guy, I mean, I'm not saying you. I don't know. That's interesting to me. That's not the guy you tend to walk away from. Not saying he's the best, but I'm saying that's a pretty good selling point for guys. So it'll be interesting. So we'll see what happens. Bear's taking over the chat. On the recruiting front, guys, we'll want to reset this real quick. We're going to hang on with you guys for about another 7 or 8 minutes. We both have stuff we got to do outside of the video today, as we'd love to bring it to you. But Michael Fasusi on campus, 5-star offensive lineman from Louisville High. He was not on campus Saturday. This was more so he could get that one-on-one time with Flood and the entire staff. There was 4 or 5 other offensive linemen on campus Saturday. This was more by design for Susie and his dad to get that one-on-one time, really get a chance to sit down in that meeting room without any other noise around, a lot of recruits around, just to kind of get that time with Texas. He hadn't been down in a while. So this is a big visit today. Is it going to impact the decision? Look, this recruitment will go on. There's 3 official visits scheduled in June. That's to A&M, Texas, and A&M, Oklahoma, and Texas in that order. Texas gets the last official visit in June. But great to have him on campus again before June. But it's going to be big visit weekends around. I posted some quotes from Zion Williams on TexasFootball.com. I thought Zion had a great visit to Texas Saturday. First time to really sit down and meet with Kenny Baker at length and watch him work, whether that was in the meeting room, position meeting room, or on the practice field. I thought that was very impactful. I brought him up to say, look, he's scheduled to be at LSU this weekend. It's LSU spring game. There's a lot. Spring games really get going. There's a couple already, but really get going this weekend. And LSU's expected to have Zion Williams and Brandon Brown, Texas commitment, on campus Saturday. Cade Phillips, some other Texas targets that were in Austin here recently, and that's the way recruiting is going to go. They're going to be at other schools. But I thought Texas, CJ, had a great weekend overall with over 24 combined 4- and 5-star prospects on campus. Texas is going to put on a good visit. They're going to put on a show, so to speak. But I still thought, with that in mind, we heard a lot of very positive things come back from feedback from recruits and their families.
Yeah, I liked what Sark said today as well. Is You know, a big part of these recruiting visits is getting to see these coaches in action. And that was a recurring theme that we heard throughout the time when we were talking prospects as they were leaving campus is, yeah, I loved getting to see Coach Chris Jackson coach his guys. He's sending two guys in the first round of the draft. I want to see what he's all about. Oh, Coach Baker brings a lot of energy. First time seeing Coach Nansen as well, kind of get his hands on these guys. Sarkisian mentioned that today. It's very important. Then getting, you know, to spend time with the coaches afterward, getting that time, which we heard a lot about from Racing Guillory as well, is, you know, when you see these coaches in their office, per se, on the field, you know, you see what they're actually like when the curtain's pulled back a little bit and you don't necessarily get to see what they kind of act like on the field. But then you get to go back and hang out with them off the field and you get to see what kind of person they are, relate to them a little bit and build that trust and relationship. I think that's very important. And of course, it certainly helps when you have a Cajun truck out there. You got burgers, you got wings, all sorts of food to sit back out there on that little deck outside of the Moncrief facility with a great view of the Austin skyline and enjoy your time with a number of big time recruits, the coaching staff, and of course your family out there as well. So to me, it was a very well-run recruiting event for the Longhorns, and you'll certainly start to hear a little bit as well. I wanted to go to this question from Mike D because one, thank you, Mike. That was a very kind comment of you. Of the recruits that have not committed yet, which ones give you the best vibe that they will pick UT or UT is in a top option for them from that recruiting video that we put up Saturday evening? If you haven't checked that out, a number of top prospects giving their instant reaction to the Longhorns and their time on campus. Listen, anytime you're given a playbook or a little packet for schemes and formations and play calls, I have to imagine things are moving in the right direction there. Elijah Barnes, to me, and I feel like Texas is in a very good position for him. We didn't get to talk to Kelshawn Johnson, but another option that Texas, I feel like, has been a top of the leaderboard there as well. So those are two guys early on for me. John Mills had another strong visit to Austin too. Jerry, in your eyes, was there anybody that stood out to you that you got to talk to a little bit in terms of how well Texas is positioned at the moment?
I think Texas is positioned extremely well with a lot of these guys. Obviously, DeCorian Moore, he'll visit Ohio State in Oregon. It's Texas or LSU for him. And I have a 51% pick percentages for Texas with DeCorian Moore. Obviously, Texas in the top three now with Jamie French. I think Texas is in a good spot with Kalik Lockett. You could just go down the list. Somebody asked about the Coleman brothers, two of the twins up there, two of the triplets, I should say, up at Cedar Hill. I think Jordan and Devin Coleman, I think I have a pretty decent odds that Texas is a good spot for those guys. I just think that's where Texas is at in recruiting. I think Zion Williams right now is a 1A, 1B to LSU-Texas battle. I think TCU's in it because of Jamarcus McFarland. I do think he'd prefer to play in the SEC. A&M's going to try to make a push there as well. At the end of the day, I think it's one of those four schools, but I think he'll go to the SEC as of today. So I can't really look up and down the list and say that Texas isn't in a good spot. I think Cade Phillips, Texas, is a good spot. Look, the latest offer, Aiden Anning, I think Texas is in a pretty good spot for him. He's scheduled June 21st through 23rd. Dorian Brew. That's one of the more interesting national battles to me because Ohio State, where his mom's a Hall of Famer in track, LSU, his dad's a Hall of Famer in track, also an Olympian. Then you have USC. Then you have Texas. A&M, other people are trying to get in that fight. But that's one of the more intriguing national battles because it covers some blue bloods all across the country, right, and in different areas. So I think Dorian Brew, but him and his mom being on campus – was big again. Jonah Williams on campus. I don't know if Jonah will when he'll release a list, but I would assume Texas would be in the top three or four on his list. I think Oklahoma's been the favorite for a while. So Ryan Nelson's asking about tight end recruiting update. I actually spoke with Nick Townsend yesterday, the four-star tight end out of Decaney, one of my favorite guys in this class. He ran a 10.92 FAT, fully automatic time, 100 at 230 pounds in the district meet. So that means Riley Pettijohn, Elijah Barnes, Nick Townsend, all guys 220 or more that have busted that 11 flat area here in recent weeks. But Nick Townsend was at Alabama over the weekend. He's a maybe or likely for the Texas spring game. He FaceTimed with Sark yesterday, spoke with Jeff Banks on Sunday after getting back from Alabama. He's now scheduled to Alabama June 7th through 9th for an official. He's got A&M the 14th through 16th. Texas gets the last visit June 21st through 23rd. He also has Arizona State and Ole Miss or Michigan could get a visit out of him as well. But I think Texas is going to do well at the tight end spot. So we'll see.
Yeah, Jerry, I got one practice note from today. DJ Campbell was out there. He was, quote-unquote, a full go today. So that dinged-up shoulder that we were told about a little bit after the scrimmage on Saturday looks to me or sounds to me like it was just a stinger. He was back out there, full go, ready for practice today. Great news on that front, of course. Sarkisian didn't address it. No one asked about it this morning, but really positive news today in terms of what DJ Campbell health-wise brings to the table for the Longhorns. We know how talented he is. I wanted to bring this up real quick about the defensive line, Jerry, because we've talked a lot about Zion Williams. DJ Sanders was on campus as well. There's a number of big-time prospects on campus. Joshua Lewis made the trip up, Chase Sims, also Amir Leonard, John Charles. I mean, where do you see this recruiting going on the defensive line? Are you taking five guys here?
I think four will be the number on the D-line. Look, yeah, Brandon Brown committed. That'll be a battle. He's now scheduled Florida, where a number of family members went. That's May 31st, June 2nd. Then he has Tennessee. Then he has Texas. Then he has USC. Again, going to be scheduled. We'll see if he shows up to be at LSU this weekend. That one's going to be a battle, but he's a no-brainer. Myron Charles was on campus Friday. Unexpected or kind of a surprise. He came in with a 7-on-7 team, four-star out of Port Charlotte, Florida. Florida State probably considered the leader over Miami and Florida. He has official visits scheduled to all three. Texas official visits in the works. We'll see what happens there. Obviously, Malik Autry scheduled to be in this weekend. We'll see if he shows up. Some of this stuff does happen. Some of it doesn't. He's an Auburn commitment. There's fights to keep some of these kids from taking visits at times. All those guys, Josiah Sharma from Folsom was on campus. Recently, he's coming back June 14th through 16th for an official visit. No-brainer, Zion Williams. No-brainer takes guys for Texas, right? Then there's a lot of other guys. DJ Sanders is on campus as well. That Texas is really going to evaluate here in May. Kenny Baker has not got out to see all these guys. This is his first spring evaluation period coming up here beginning at the end of April. So he's going to get out to go look at a Derry Norris in Spruce Creek High in Orlando area, Port Orange, Florida. Go see a Jarquez Newton at Newberry, a defensive lineman. These are guys we've talked about on TexasFootball.com and on Texas Football here, but Kenny Baker's never seen him in person. Kevin Wynn in Greensboro, Georgia. So there's some more evaluation process coming to this defensive line position, more so than others, because it's a new coach who wasn't here until late January. I think Texas will end up with four D linemen in the class.
Good stuff. Well, I mean, we covered a lot of what we heard today from Steve Sarkisian. A lot of positives following the first scrimmage of the spring on Saturday. Again, another opportunity this Saturday, the 13th, coming up. It'll be a little bit lighter of a scrimmage heading into the spring game, of course. But hey, about, what is it, 11 days away from the spring game, Jerry? I think there's a lot of expectations and anticipation, as you predicted, coming into this spring. I'm excited. Sarkisian, again, just kind of reading the tea leaves and the tone in which he talked about this team, I think he's looking at a team that is very talented and one that he's very pleased to kind of see how this roster has been constructed. Of course, adding a number of big-time wide receivers. There was one last quote I wanted to get real quick from Steve Sarkisian about his wide receivers. Let me pull it up real quick. He was talking about the incoming guy. So Ryan Wingo, he talked about Matthew Golden and Isaiah Bond. Right now with Isaiah Bond, you see the flashes. You see the explosivity with him on the field. Matthew Golden, the last couple of days, we're really starting to get the last version or the real version of Matthew Golden. I think it is very important here. He's dealing with a little bit of a turf toe issue coming from Houston, but recently we're starting to hear a lot of great things about him as well. And then Ryan Wingo, he just doesn't look like a freshman out there. That's from Steve Sarkisian, and that's something that we've continued to hear over the weekend. So those are my last thoughts on the scrimmage and Sarkisian today. Again, very positive in the sense that it sounds like things are trending very healthy for the Longhorns right now.
All right, and obviously Bear Alexander has been a big topic. He's expected to enter the portal. That news is hitting, so that'll be his second jump into the portal since he signed with Georgia out of high school. So that's the news out there on Bear. Alexander. So we'll see where it all goes, guys. But again, thank you. I want to say thank you to Mark Saunders, the sole sponsor of the Recruiting Breakdown. When it comes to protecting all your stuff, wouldn't it be great to have one place that protects it all? Here's some great news for you. Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders is the only insurance agent you'll need to help keep tabs on protection for all your stuff, everything from your home, car, and boat to your motorcycle, RV, and ATV. Call Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders' office today at 512-218-8571. With over 35 years of experience, you'll be in great hands with Mark Saunders. Do what dozens of Texas fans have done that are members of On Texas Football. Give him a call, 512-218-8571. Thank you to Mark Saunders, and thank you to CJ Vogel for this Tuesday recruiting breakdown and Steve Sarkisian reaction, press conference reaction live. Head on over to ontexasfootball.com for more. We'll be back with Longhorn live stream, CJ and Rod Babers and Aaron Hogan tonight at 7. Texas fans, SEC fans, hey, if there's some Aggie fans out there, everybody have a great day.
Welcome. Y'all have a good one.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.